about. You gotta put it in perspective.
From the Chuck Barris Stages in Hollywood, California, it's The Dating Game. Here's the star of the show and your host, Jim Lang.
And here they are.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
You know, I'm listening right now, and I can't believe this blaspheme that I'm hearing. Putting down Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures, dude? Huh, that's not excellent, my dudes. You know, like, they're party legends. Wild Stallion! How could you not be ready for the number 3? You're me, and I'm you. What number am I thinking of? 69, dude!
And now...
She went from... to... to...
Our feature presentation.
Not sure what's happening there.
Oh, I think you know.
Oh, okay. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday morning. It is the 16th of April.
Jensen?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it.
31 points down.
Mm-hmm.
They came back.
Clippers last night?
Yes.
Yeah. Greatest comeback in NBA playoff history, Kevin.
Against the number one seed in Golden State, which is a huge part of this. They don't, mm-hmm. you know, the Warriors don't lose in Golden State. And it over and over, this team, with a roster that is a little over mediocre.
Huh.
Has continued to do the unthinkable.
Did the Warriors die?
Literally
physically,
like,
die?
Somebody on the team had to keel over.
31 points down about halfway through the third, it started to turn.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it is. It was an unparalleled comeback.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the series now?
1-1.
1-1. Oh, wow.
Going back to L.A., coming here. It's a team, man. It's the first time in the NBA I've ever seen. You just trade away all your good players and you get better?
That's the strategy.
That's weird.
Yeah. I think the chemistry of whatever group is out there that just play well together, if there's five guys out there that are really moving the ball and being where they're supposed to be.
I guess.
That's what Golden State does, too.
That's crazy. The best players in the NBA on their team.
But 31.
I know, it's a ton.
That's insanity.
In Golden State, yeah.
If you came back from 10 back against Golden State, that's heroic.
Yeah.
It's unimaginable.
Players from Golden State are waking up this morning going, what?
Yeah.
they did not look happy.
Yeah, 31-point lead.
And that's a spirit killer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Now you're going back to L.A. and you feel that pain. It's going to be pretty good. I mean, they're still the Warriors.
you can't count them
out.
I wouldn't bet against them.
But I will tell you one thing.
Yeah.
Jerry West is the greatest basketball mind of all time.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
I know that everyone always says that, but this is more impressive than anything he's ever done. I mean, other than the Kobe trade, which was
it's really
unheard of.
It's tough to pick a highlight from that guy's life.
Yeah, but I think the NBA logo should be changed from him dribbling to just him at a desk. Because this is
just signing something.
This is insane. The guy he traded for Tobias Harris, which a lot of people believed was a move because they thought they weren't making the playoffs. They were like, oh, we're going to get rid of Tobias Harris because, you know, let's start getting ready for next year. The guy they traded for, Shamut, he won the game last night with a 3-point. I mean, the guy you traded for as a, you know, like a second place.
Right.
Wow.
Won the game.
Yeah.
Well, Lou Williams is still trending today, by the way.
He's quite a once-in-a-lifetime star for a sixth man. I mean, Lou Williams is remarkable.
Well, it's very exciting. I mean, I was thinking about you. I was thinking about Dave last night. I was thinking about how unbelievably happy the Clippers' last win of the playoffs must feel.
Christine as well.
Listen, we're coming back to Staples.
Look,
this is what we hope for.
They are the Warriors.
I know.
Right?
But Boogie Cousins looks injured. There's a bunch of stuff looking up
Not
for
Boogie.
Us. Yes, Boogie.
You are optimistic.
I'm optimistic to make this a series, yes.
Okay.
I never want to be optimistic that you're going to beat the Warriors.
I can't speak for Kevin here, but I'm rooting for the Clippers all the way.
Yeah,
so.
I can't do that.
Come on.
I'm happy for my friends that are Clipper
but
fans.
But the Lakers are out. Why not root
it's
for the
not
Clippers?
The same thing.
You know
I don't
what?
Know how many times
Bring
to tell you that.
Bring a championship to L.A.
I'll
not the same thing.
I'll be honest with you. I would never expect Kevin to have the time because he's watching so much Kings playoff hockey.
Well,
okay.
That's true.
Uncalled.
He doesn't
wait
have
that
the time.
Is uncalled for Jensen.
I did watch last night. I was watching hockey instead of that basketball game. But not my team. So,
all right, we have time for the thing.
Sure.
I was two things have dovetailed nicely into each other. I tweeted about this on Sunday. I went out to my regular breakfast spot in New Orleans on Sunday morning for breakfast, and I was having a chat with my server, who I see most weeks. We have a friendly relationship.
Poor server. Get that server's number, would you?
She's about 22, I want to say, and she's a very, very nice lady.
Mm-hmm.
And we were chatting about summer plans. She's going to North Carolina over the summer, and she's excited about that. And I told her that I would be going to Seattle. And she said to me, Seattle, is that in the United States? And I was surprised that she said that. Not that everybody knows every city in America, but I feel like Seattle is of a size that even if you've never been there, you would have heard of it. Just like I would expect you have heard of Minneapolis,
right,
and you've
of
heard of Dallas. Of you know, just some cities, Phoenix. Some cities are big enough that you think people have heard of it. And then I started thinking about it.
You should have started messing with her, dude.
No, I didn't.
Totally
I told
should've.
Her. I pulled out my phone and I showed her where it was. And at first I told her, I said, you know where California is? And she said, yes, you knew where California is.
Wait, California's in the United States?
I said Oregon is just above that, and then Washington, and Seattle is very close to Canada in the very upper left-hand corner. And then I showed it to her on my phone, right? So I started thinking about, does it matter that a 22-year-old that lives in New Orleans who will probably never go to Seattle knows where Seattle is? Because it used to really, really bug me when people said things. And Kevin, you know this because
sure.
I worked with you. So
I said
a lot of dumb things that you didn't know.
Sure.
And it used to really bug me. But I've kind of gotten to the point now where it's surprising, but I don't know that it really affects your life.
Being is growing up. Look at that.
I don't think it matters. Being, it does matter that she would know if something's in the United States. Your bar is lowering too much.
It is. It's lowering a lot. But why? But why does it matter? It will never affect her life.
How do you?
Ever.
I mean, that's...
Because at some point, somebody's going to be telling a story about going to Seattle, or she's going to go wherever.
I was telling a story about going to Seattle, and she didn't know what it was.
But I'm saying at some point, it's going to affect her, and at that point, she'll go, oh, I didn't know that. And she'll learn it, and it's fine. What's the downside? Who cares?
It's her own country, though.
I feel like I'm with Kevin now, which is we all try to learn. We all don't need to be James on Jeopardy, is what I'm saying. We all kind of learn what we need to know, and if
down.
We don't know other stuff, is it that big a deal?
I think there's a huge jump from not knowing where Seattle is to being James on Jeopardy. I think basic things, is kind of.
But my thing is, this really used to drive Bean crazy. And
because I thought everyone was a dumbass,
right.
And now I realize you're not
a dumbass.
if you don't know everything. You know what you need to know.
I think it's easier just to think everyone's a dumbass and then not let it bother you. That's easy.
Why don't we just let Bean grow up and be happy?
You're right.
What's wrong with you two?
Yeah, I'm just reminding you, not knowing that Seattle's in the United States
right?
is so far gone.
Like, right. Okay. Help me, Jensen.
Yes.
Help me understand why it matters to a 22-year-old who works at a restaurant and has her own life with her boyfriend and her child in New Orleans, Louisiana. Why does she ever need to think about Seattle any more than she needs to think about Singapore?
Well, honestly,
Singapore is in the United States.
No.
Just an example. It's another city that she has no interaction with. So who cares?
Because I think that knowing what is in, I'm not even saying hand her a map and have her point it out. Knowing what is in your country,
right.
I feel is good to have an overall knowledge of. I mean, I guess I think it would be mean to say she shouldn't know politics. She should know the things that are going on around her very specifically and locally.
Look at Kevin. He's in the freaking Hall of Fame. He doesn't even know who president is.
Bean, can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Same girl or different?
Different.
Okay.
Different girl. Yeah,
same restaurant?
Same restaurant.
That didn't know that bacon came from pigs.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Wow, they hire him right there.
Or they're having a blast doing pranks on that guy who comes in all the time.
That's why I say I want to talk to her and find out what her interactions with
Bean are. You
won't
believe what I told him today. I told him I didn't know Seattle was in the U.S.
No, the blank look on her face. She's not that good an actor. She didn't know Seattle was in the U.S. Okay, so I said it dovetails nicely into it. Real quick, here's why I bring it up. Because I also saw an article in the Washington Post yesterday, which Kevin is a newspaper, very popular.
Sure.
I memorize it every day. It was a fireside chat, is what he called it, from the chief meteorologist for the ABC affiliate in Birmingham, Alabama. And he said, we're in the storm season now. We just had tornadoes go through much of the South this past weekend. And he said, many people cannot find themselves on a map. They do not know where
they live themselves
on a map. Yes. So he said, I want audiences to know where they are on this map because we bring you these severe weather maps and it's important for you to realize the weather that is coming your way. He said, listen, we don't expect people to be geographers or radar meteorologists. There are a lot of things I'm not good at, but it's during severe weather, we use maps. And we have learned that a large percentage of people in our state, again, Alabama, and in many states cannot find themselves on a map. He says, if I gave you a blank map, would you be able to put a dot within 50 miles of where you live? Here's the sentence. We've seen studies which show about 85% of the population cannot.
That's... That's painful.
Wait, in that state or in the United States?
No, in the U.S.
Across the United States.
The U.S., okay. 85%
of people, if they hand them a blank map of Indiana and say, okay, you live in Indiana, put a dot on the map where you live, that many people couldn't do it. That's shocking to me. I feel like I have at least some spatial awareness of where I am in the city, in the state, and in the country.
But you don't. Do you think that comes into play in 22-year-old life?
Well, his
when
point
it comes
is it
should.
Weather,
it
yes,
should. I'm
because
saying
because of
should.
Severe weather.
Right.
I think it's
she
all...
should know where New Orleans is.
It's all because... relative. These are all truths. You should know your own surroundings, and I think that the U.S. should be considered our surroundings. If someone yesterday was like, where's Notre Dame? I've never heard of it. I'd sort of roll my eyes, but at least be like,
they
listen.
Play USC like every year. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Not place. Of NBC?
What? Different place.
Come on.
She's like, is the Hunchback okay? But you know what I mean? Like, that's different to me. At least I'll give you a little bit of a pass. But this
Yeah, because she's never going to Europe, and she probably doesn't have to know anything about Europe.
Jeez,
but she should know about America is what you're saying.
But Jensen, Bean goes through life being upset at everybody.
Right,
this is
so.
Good for
You're
him.
Saying it's growth.
Yes.
Okay.
I feel
His
like
his heart
it is
grew one size bigger yesterday.
I feel like it is too. I feel like I've in recent
you.
Years, and again, I attribute it all to Kevin. In recent years, I've just decided that you're not a bad guy just because you don't know stuff. And, you know that Game of Thrones, that Tyrion, I drink and I know stuff? Kevin's half of that, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the half that he picked.
I believe in you.
Right.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
Well, I guess I'll still hit my button.
Yes, please.
I believe in you. You were going to play that too just before Jensen did?
Yeah, I
That's
had it.
Funny.
I had
I'm
it
being
locked
like,
and loaded.
I'm being like.
Yeah. Phil Kogan, the host of Amazing Race, joins us.
Guy who knows everything. Guy who's been to over 120 countries.
He tweeted yesterday, I don't remember exactly what the details were, but like 21 days, and they went to 28 locations for the show or something like that.
Yeah, they filmed all of Amazing Race in 3 weeks, right?
That's ridiculous.
It is.
But I think
it's
that's
punishing.
Also what puts so much pressure on the contestants, because they get tired quick and annoyed quick just because of all that traveling.
I thought it was a green screen, so I feel dumb.
You back into a parking spot.
Then you're a dick.
I'm sorry?
Then you're a dick.
That's an odd choice.
I think it's one of the weirdest decisions people make.
Weird is fine, but I'm not sure you're a dick.
Yeah, at a concert, you don't back into a spot so you can get out super easy?
I never back into a spot.
Ever?
No. And I think when like see other people do it, I think it's a...
You're like the girl that doesn't know Seattle's in the United States. Sorry.
Please. It's a time waste.
We also have animal stories on the program today. We have Afro on the show today, some feedback from our listeners, and we have tickets for April Foolishness. And today we're going to be looking for blonde jokes.
Oh.
At 7 o'clock this morning. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
And all morning long on the program today, like the rest of the week, we give you tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood. So stand by for a chance to win. That's a fun day right there. Allie's here with our first look at what's happening on a Tuesday.
Guys, I wasn't aware that Game of Thrones can be funny.
What?
Apparently it's pretty funny.
I watched the episode.
You did?
You did.
Did
My
you
first
chuckle?
Ever Game of Thrones episode.
And?
I don't recall a funny moment, but is it the type of thing that you would have needed to know something about the characters or the storyline to get?
I think you might have.
Okay.
You would have to know about a character named Eddie.
No, there's no one in Game of Thrones named Eddie.
It was it was Ed Sheeran's character. And remember when he was on Game of Thrones and people just lost their minds.
Yeah,
they
right.
hated it. It was awful. He wound up leaving social media because he's like, I don't like these people yelling at me all the
poor
time.
Poor guy just wanted to be on his favorite show.
Because it seemed like stunt casting.
Well, they just kind of plopped him in there.
Right.
But during the show, people learned the fate of Eddie. Apparently, he was the victim of dragon fire. One of the three women he was sleeping with on the show said, that boy Eddie came back and his face burned right off. He's got no eyelids now.
Oh, my God. That is funny. So,
that's about it.
That is funny. I love that.
That actually delighted me.
Kevin, you watched the episode as well.
I did.
And you, like me, are not a Game of Thrones fan.
I think I'm becoming one. I liked it.
Yeah.
You liked it. Okay.
Yeah. Am I going to go back and watch the whole series? I would if I had time.
Mm-hmm. But you're watching Kings playoff hockey.
Yeah. Sure.
Question.
I love playoff games.
Should I do it? Never seen one ever.
I feel like here's what I looked at.
Can you?
It's the final season. Mm-hmm. Everyone we know is watching it, and we'll be talking about it. And it might be fun to go along for the ride.
All right,
and
I'll watch it.
I mean, it's not that it's only like 8 episodes this final season, right?
Okay. As long as I can just jump into it and learn about Eddie.
I don't think you can so much.
You can jump into it and get the basics. You can understand exactly what's happening. There's 7 kingdoms. They all are fighting. They have to get together to fight the White Walkers. You know that. You probably miss a bunch of little stuff that you didn't know that everybody else is getting, but I think it was good.
Well, I felt I was fortunate in that my wife has been watching it since the beginning, so she could tell me which brothers and sisters were having sex.
I need to watch it with your wife.
How annoying is it watching with you? You're that guy that's like, who's he? Wait, is that a sister? Is that what? Who's that? You're that guy.
Is that
Madonna.
The throne? Is that the game? Is that the throne?
Oh
is that
God,
the game?
I would kill you. I would absolutely murder you.
When is the incest?
I tried not to ask too many questions, but she was being very helpful because she knew that I didn't know anybody. So if somebody new would show up, she would say, oh, this is the relationship of this guy and this guy.
That
you know
is
what I mean?
True love.
She was very nice.
She was very nice.
She let me watch it in the same room as her.
Wow.
At the same time.
Things are getting better for Bean.
I think we shared a bowl of popcorn, if I recall correctly. So it was a love fest.
Now, had she watched it earlier so she wouldn't be interrupted? And then she's like, all right, I'll watch it with him now.
No, we watched it together.
Really?
For the first time, yeah.
Did you pause it when she was explaining?
Yeah, a couple times. Yeah.
You don't miss anything. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, she didn't miss it. I think she had a good time. She also said that it was...
she had a good time.
She also said that it was...
Not the first time he said
that. That's what your autobiography should be called.
She also said that for a Game of Thrones episode, it was kind of boring. She said it was just mostly set up for what's going to happen.
Sure. So, understandable.
Which makes sense. Yeah. First episode back, I get it. I enjoyed it. I think I'm in. And I'm glad to hear thank you for explaining the Ed Sheeran joke.
No problem. Would you like to hear the numbers?
Yes, please.
Keep in mind, HBO in far fewer homes than, say, a broadcast network.
Yeah, sure.
So when I tell you that Game of Thrones set a massive ratings record for its final season premiere on Sunday, I don't think you're quite grasping how huge this number is on HBO.
Well, keep in mind that NCIS has 16 million viewers regularly.
But that's on CBS. That's a channel everyone can get.
Yeah. Well, and people just keep it on and do their chores.
Exactly. Yeah. 17.4 million viewers.
That is a ton.
Wow. Yeah.
That's an insane number, you guys. Yeah. The prior record holder this season on any network was Big Bang Theory. So, I don't know.
Bean was right. I watched that 60 Minutes piece yesterday on Game of Thrones.
Amazing.
And they talked to pretty much all the actors and actresses. Mm-hmm. And they talked to the two guys who were behind it, who had never done any TV before. And they go on location. They show you a bunch of stuff. They make up Anderson Cooper as a White Walker. It's fascinating.
Really interesting, right?
Yes, and if you're a fan of that show, you have to look this up. 60 Minutes.
I can only imagine people that have been watching it since day one are so annoyed with all of us right now.
Oh, sure.
Can you believe how great this show
is? That's
seems?
A given, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys, get up on Game of Thrones. It's a new show on HBO.
That's crazy. All right, you guys, some birthdays for you. John Cryer, Martin Lawrence, Peter Billingsley, you guys. Daddy's gonna kill Ralphie. Remember Christmas Story?
Yeah.
He's talented. Mm-hmm. Great guy. Who else? Claire Foy, Bean.
Oh, the Queen.
The Queen. Chance the Rapper. And Ellen Barkin, you guys. Animal Kingdom.
May I add one more birthday to the list?
You may.
Miss Cat Corbett.
Oh!
Cat Corbett!
Happy birthday, Cat.
That is wonderful.
She's not up yet.
She's not up yet. Hopefully her mom will be up later, though, to wish her a happy birthday, right?
I'm sure we can arrange that.
Excellent.
You are running out of time to be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's 11th annual April Foolishness. Deadline is end of show on Friday. Just go to KROQ.com. Be 18 or older. Be funny. fill out the form, send us a YouTube link of your comedy, and then we'll announce the top 10 finalists on Monday morning. By the way, I should say this. This is my last April Foolishness.
Right.
Yeah.
And I am very excited by the number of people I have heard from who are coming to the show, A, because it's a great show, and a lot of them come every year, but B, because they feel like it's their kind of their last chance to say goodbye, shake a hand, get a photo, which I'm going to be very excited about doing. Very excited about meeting a bunch of listeners that night.
And by the way, he'll say he doesn't, but he loves hugs.
Yeah.
So go ahead and give him a hug. Don't.
The tighter, please. The better.
Even yeah, like, no,
and the longer, the better
the
as
longer.
Well.
Yeah, and at the end, a little maybe even baseball butt pat.
Yes.
I exactly. don't think that's necessary, but I
that's
guess
what I'm saying is he says yeah. that, but he really
I,
does
a lot
appreciate
of times,
it.
If you just nuzzle him with your right. nose, like right into his chest, he's like, I love it.
What I'm saying is, if you were on the fence about coming to the show, because, I mean, let's face it, it's a great lineup already with Eddie Eft and Jamie Lee and Ray Romano and Felipe Esparza and Greg Fitzsimmons, Adam Ray, plus the Kevin Amin battle rap, plus special guests. If you were still on the fence after all of that, even knowing you can get tickets for as low as $30, I'm saying, on top of that, maybe the last time we have a chance to meet in person. So please get your tickets, AXS.com. They're on sale now.
You're taking all of my time.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, no.
Britain's Got Talent.
Oh,
this is a 12-year-old kid.
I got to always try, try a little, try to this. All you got to do is squeeze her, hold her when you want her. Gotta squeeze her, don't tease her, never leave her. You got to get to it. Try a little tenderness.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Stop it.
For 12, that's good.
For 12, that's good. For anyone, that's good. Okay, so that guy, you know, he performs, and how do you follow that? You're the next person up on Britain's Got Talent.
Difficult.
Yeah.
This is the next guy. He walks out. He's standing in front of the microphone. The announcers backstage are like going, what's he going to do? And the judges are all looking at each other like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
The guy's a hand farter.
Chihuahua.
Yes. He does a medley of three songs. And I'm not going to tell you what they are because you will recognize them as they go. But he walks up there and he stands there. And then he's just got this weird grin on his face. And he starts. And Simon Cowell is one of the judges. And they look at him and he's just like so sour.
Oh,
and then
it.
He goes into another song and he looks at him and he's like almost smiling. And at the end, he gets a standing ovation
yes.
from the crowd
Whoa.
And the judges.
No,
he's your hero.
He's my hero. Those guys are the Ryan Seacrest of the show. Mm-hmm. They're asking how he does it in tune, right? And that's a great question.
Yeah.
It's in tune.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
He's got range.
How does he do that?
Yeah. Ghostbusters.
Yes. Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters. I'm trying to give it a pun.
Wow, going crazy, oh, clapping along.
Ooh.
Long.
It sounds
wet. Right? Has never been so happy in his entire life. Oh my god, it's Eye of the Tiger.
Eye of the Tiger.
Is there nothing this kid can't do? How does he rate with our American hand farter?
Oh,
Kevin.
I don't know, because our American hand farter did maybe the most difficult song ever.
For sure.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. But he's...
Here comes a big no.
Now listen. When they add to it, you're the best. And everybody's like, woo! And the 12-year-old is probably backstage going, hey!
What do I have to do?
I just killed and I'm 12!
Do they just hand over the trophy now?
I'm not sure.
What happened?
So then I spent literally 45 minutes last night, like, I knew, like, everyone can do that, right? And I can't. I couldn't.
I don't love the sounds you're making with your hands.
Well, I don't either, but yeah. I would like it to be music, but it doesn't seem to, like...
Yeah,
is that a unique skill that...
Well, yes, but also when you do it, it sounds clammy.
Well, it doesn't sound like it's supposed to because I'm not doing it. Maybe I need a coach.
Oh, a hand farting coach.
Yeah. Is there a hand farting coach? Is
There's
that a thing?
There's gotta be.
Hold on. There might be because there are people who can probably do it and teach you how to do it. But here,
Jensen's got noise.
Oh, I can't even do that.
That's not even Allie? Using his hands.
Yeah, I got
Allie's actually making zero sound.
I do need lotion.
Kevin, what if you get yourself a hand farter coach? And I get serious about my ukulele playing.
Oh.
And that's our act at Acoustic Christmas.
And we go on the road.
I don't know about going on the road, but at least for one night only. Can you imagine if we got to open Acoustic Christmas with that?
I am in. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55.
How far into trying to hand fart and not getting any sound out did you think, what am I doing with my life, Kevin?
Oh, no. I'm still obsessed and I have to learn.
You haven't been able to learn to whistle yet your entire life.
Yeah, whistling, that's for losers.
Yep, but somehow you need to hand fart. You're going to be able to self-teach hand farting, huh?
No, I'm saying I'm looking for a coach.
Okay. So. You know, we have that guy in the Midwest that we talked to. Maybe we could have him help you out.
No, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
By the way, I wanted to mention that I got that video sent to me by Rosita Angel. Mm-hmm. One of our listeners, she sent it. She said, this is exactly you. Yeah. I was like, yes, it is.
She knows you well. All right. Well, give away some tickets for that aforementioned April Foolishness coming up right after Allie's What's Happening Here on a Tuesday Morning.
Bean, you still liking that Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
I couldn't love it more.
Right? It's a mega hit there on
Amazon
it's great. Prime.
It's Amazon Prime's breakout hit, I think.
Absolutely.
It's their biggest, most successful show, I think.
So here's the thing. You're Rachel Brosnahan.
It's, go on, yes.
Right?
It's a dream I've had.
It's your show. Uh-huh. You're the star of it. Uh-huh. You're at an award show.
Right.
You see arguably one of the greatest actors of our generation, Sterling K. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You interrupt his interview on Entertainment Tonight and beg him to be on the show.
Okay.
He's like, I'd love to. That would be really cool. Guess who's going to be on season 3 of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
That's a weird way for that to all come down.
I think it's brilliant, right? No need to have the agents reach out, anything like that. Just go right up to him mid-interview. What's he going to say? Nope, not interested, Rachel. Turn around. March that sweet ass away. No.
This is giving false hope to a lot of people, though.
It really is.
It's Miss Maisel. It's like a very easy show to get
huge,
off.
It's a huge show.
If anyone asks you, you're definitely going to do that show. If you're a random guy who works at a gas station,
right?
Don't ask, you know, Sterling K. Brown.
It's Sterling. It's
Sterling. What is he going to play on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
We don't know yet, but he said, stay tuned. I'm getting together with Midge, and it's going to be awesome.
That would be spanking.
It would it's going to be huge, that's you true. Guys. I love him so much. He's good in everything.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, what a delight. So you're Ryan O'Neal, old Hollywood heartthrob, right?
I'm putting myself in a lot of other people's shoes today.
You were married to Farrah Fawcett.
Mm-hmm.
You've got an Andy Warhol portrait of your ex, Farrah Fawcett. Instead of giving it to your kids, you decide you kind of want to go on the lowdown and start shopping it around to different art galleries or collectors. How much do you think he's asking for a Andy Warhol portrait of Farrah Fawcett?
It's the famous picture, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was in a gallery in London recently, and they had several Andy Warhol portraits.
Right.
What were they selling for?
Those were, you know what? Now that I think about it, I think those might have been prints. This is an actual painting, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
so I got nothing. I can't even imagine. Those were prints, and they were, you know, $20,000, $25,000, $30,000. So I'm going to say $200,000 for the painting.
I'm going to say $500,000.
Okay. Well, he initially wanted $20 million, but now it's marked down to $18
million. $18 million?
Is he off or are we off?
Wow. I'm sure we're off.
We're
I'm
off,
sure.
But he's high.
It seems very high, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Apparently, she had left it in her will to the University of Texas, but he went to court about it, and a jury ruled that he could keep it, and he doesn't want to give it to his adult children when he dies, so he's shopping it around to collectors.
Seems like a dick.
No, well, I respect it, by
you
the way.
You do? Okay.
I don't think you have any obligation to leave your children stuff. I really don't. None.
And their child together has had many, many issues.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's troubled. Honestly, this is what I told my dad in his final years. I'm like, I understand that you're trying to leave behind a bunch of money for the kids. Blow it. Go out there, travel the world, get hookers, get cocaine, enjoy it. Live the best life you can possibly live. You should. I think you should die right after you write the last check of your life that bounces.
I'll take your dad's money.
Yeah, actually, Bean, after you found out how much it was, you were like, wait,
well,
what?
It did change my mind a little bit, but it actually happened. But you know what I'm saying? It's like the money, that's your money to enjoy. Right. Don't worry about passing it on to the next generation. I believe that.
This is a man that doesn't have kids.
All right. I'm going to suggest to you, Bean, that parents want to do that.
Yeah.
Like Ryan O'Neal. Allie is just proving your point.
I think also Ryan O'Neal is not who I would hold up to be
Father of the Year.
But
I did just look up the painting, and it's pretty good.
I thought you showed me a picture of Meg Ryan, to be honest. It looks just like Meg Ryan, doesn't it?
Well, it's Farrah Fawcett, done by Andy Warhol. Okay. It looked very good.
Hmm. He thought he was painting Meg Ryan?
Yes.
$18 million good?
No, but very good.
Okay.
Some birthdays for you guys. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, John Cryer, Martin Lawrence, Peter Billingsley, Claire Foy, Chance the Rapper, Ellen Barkin. You guys know when Animal Kingdom comes back?
I don't.
Know when?
May 28th.
Yes. Fantastic.
Fourth season there.
Can't wait.
And happy birthday, Kat Corbett. I mean, she has so many sound bites to choose from, but that's what you went with. All right. I respect it. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. We have tickets to Kevin and Bean's 11th annual April Foolishness. If you would like them, we're looking for blonde jokes.
Ooh,
blonde jokes. So 1-800-520-1067. You call.
Do you guys know what you call a really smart blonde?
No.
A golden retriever. See, that's what we're looking for, guys. Blonde jokes. That's the deal.
Bean's very concerned that people don't know what blonde jokes are.
Just thought a demonstration wouldn't hurt.
Very concerned.
Do you know why the blonde couldn't call 911?
Why?
Because she couldn't find the 11 on her phone. Hey, it's a pair of tickets to Kevin and Bean's 11th annual April Foolishness coming up April 26th at the Microsoft Theater. It's a great lineup. By now, you know that. Tickets on sale at AXS.com, where you can win them right now with a blonde joke with a game that we like to call the blonde leading the blonde.
Allie is so blonde. Win tickets to April Foolishness. Your joke about blonde, 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 blondes.
Ow! Cisco forever!
You know what's fun is we never preview Omar's intro, so we get to hear him for the first time when you do. They always make us laugh.
So we're doing this knockout style. You tell a blonde joke, and if the next person's is better than yours, you get hung up on and they move on. If it's the other way around, you stay on to see who the other challengers are.
Was it yesterday that the first person won?
Yes!
Put them on hold. No one else could beat them. All right.
That's right.
Let's start with Dave in Glendale. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Blonde
first
joke,
of all,
please.
Oh,
go ahead, what?
Here it comes.
No, no, you said, you love.
No, this is good. Just keep,
I love Allie.
Oh.
I love Allie.
Oh.
Thank you, Dave.
Here's my joke.
Okay.
A blonde walks into a library and says, I'd like a hamburger and fries. And the guy says, lady, this is a library. And she goes, oh, sorry, I'd like a hamburger and fries.
That is going to be tough to beat. That is outstanding.
That's a good one.
By the way, Allie, you're in no way insulted by blonde jokes because
I'm not blonde.
You've never actually been
blonde. Sucker. Actually, right. I am. I'm a towhead, but that's neither here nor there for this contest.
Okay. Let's go to Mark.
That was very blonde.
Let's go to Mark in Covina. Good morning, Mark.
To you as well.
All right. Why do blonde girls have bruises around their belly button?
Why do blonde girls have bruises around their belly button?
Because blonde guys aren't that smart either.
Oh, Mark.
Tell us your joke about blonde, 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 blondes.
You know what? That had a twist in it, didn't it?
It did.
I
didn't think
liked
it was better, though. I'm going with Dave.
We're staying with Dave.
Still the library.
Still library?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Mark. I think you had me, but we got to go with the go with the room.
All right, let's go to Nathan in Long Beach. Good morning, Nathan.
Morning.
All right, you got a blonde joke for us?
I do. Why did a blonde take a ruler with her to bed?
Why did a blonde take a ruler with her to bed? I don't know.
To measure how long she slept.
Oof. That's not a smart woman.
Tell us your joke.
I think that's the point.
You're making that blonde lady sound pretty dumb.
I think that's the point.
I mean, no.
I think I'm still library.
Yeah, library day.
I'd like a hamburger and fries.
Still in the lead. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to Daniel in Woodland Hills. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. So a blonde calls her mom. She's like, Mom, Mom, I'm a genius. Mother's like, really, dear? How's that possible? And the blonde's like, I finished a puzzle that I've been working on for 1 year, and on the box it says for 2 to 5 years.
That's not bad.
I like it.
Allie, wow. What do you think? You're the blonde.
I think I still like the library.
Daniel, it was so good, Daniel. And great delivery from Daniel,
too.
Oh,
Daniel. Now, maybe Daniel and Dave can go together if they
want. I think that's how it works.
No? Okay, no. Sorry.
Thank you. All right, let's go to Sergio, who is calling from Reseda. Good morning, Sergio.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Sergio.
Yeah?
I believe in you. All right, let's hear your blonde joke.
Damn it, I hate that whisper. What's the difference between a blonde and a brick wall?
A blonde and a brick wall? What is the difference?
A brick wall has only been laid once.
Tell us your joke about blonde, 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 blonde.
I see what you did there, but no slut shaming on this program.
When do we put that policy in?
I'm just saying, blondes have all the sex you want.
Misha Ann? Is that how you say your name?
Mike. Michael Ann.
Okay.
From Burbank. Yes.
A lady blonde joke. All right, what do you have for us?
How do you drown a blonde?
How do you drown a blonde?
You put a scratch and sniff sticker on the bottom of the pool.
Because.
Tell us your joke about blonde, 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 blonde.
Team Dave, I think.
Yeah, that was very current with the scratch and sniff stickers.
All right, we got time for just a couple more, and then we're giving away some April Foolishness tickets.
Let's go to Jack, who is streaming from Chicago.
Hey, guys.
Hey there. Got a blonde joke?
Yep. Okay. What's the difference between a blonde and a mosquito?
Between a blonde and a mosquito? What is it, Jack?
Mosquito stops sucking after you slap it.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Jesus.
That got dark.
That's the Chicago way right there.
Wow.
Good God, Jack.
Thank you for listening. All right, one more. This is it. Look, if Anthony doesn't knock out Dave, then he is, for the second day in a row, the first caller through and the one who remained the champion through the whole segment.
Yeah. Anthony in Inglewood, good morning.
Good morning.
No pressure. Blonde joke.
Wonderful. What do you get when you have a bunch of blondes standing shoulder to shoulder?
A bunch of blondes standing shoulder to shoulder would be what?
A wind tunnel.
I appreciate that Anthony liked it.
Love that joke.
Anthony loved it.
He loved it a lot.
He ran with that joke for 5 years waiting for an opportunity to tell him. Anthony,
if he had to pick the winner, I think he'd pick Anthony.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, a pair of tickets to Kevin Bean's 11th annual April Foolishness. It's fast approaching April 26th at the Microsoft Theater with Adam Ray, Felipe Esparza, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eddie Ift, Jamie Lee, Ray Romano, and the Kevin Bean Rap Battle. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for our friend Dave, who is the winner.
Well done, Dave. Yay!
Hey, Dave. Dave, would you consider bringing Daniel that told that other joke? All right. Enough said.
Why did Omar just walk
in? I'm not sure. With a S-eating grin on his face.
What's happening?
I don't like it.
I don't like it. Hey, coming up on this morning's Kevin Bean Show, by the way, an all-new rendition of Animal Stories. Plus, people who back into parking spaces are time-wasting douchebags, says one of our listeners. We'll discuss. That's coming up just after 8. First, the Kevin Bean Afro line is on the air. 323-520-AFRO. That's our voicemail here at the show, 24-7. You're invited to call and leave a message on any topic.
Hey, guys. It's Toddler777, longtime listener, short-time caller. I just wanted to call in again as an experiment, actually, to see if my message might actually get played on the air. Here's the experiment. It starts now. Omar, you are an incredibly intelligent, smart, great singer, and beautiful-looking man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I wonder how that call made the cut to get on the air.
She is the guy that goes through the Afro line to find these calls.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That guy was...
We have a machine that does that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
It's called the AfroPick.
I see.
It's 4:30 in the morning right now. And for the last 30 minutes, I have been rewatching DJ Omar Khan's Instagram story. He's literally like a 13-year-old kid who has just been allowed onto Instagram. He is trying out every filter, hot dogs, poop. Please, someone stop him. Please.
No way. The poop emoji is my favorite. I love that. I'm a dancing poop head.
Yeah. You do tend to overuse that.
I love that.
By the way, the guy wants you to stop it, yet he's obsessed with it.
Absolutely.
Won't stop watching.
I'm not gay or anything, but, I mean, come on with the Omar. Okay. Omar.
All right.
Are you a potato? Because you're a hot one.
All right.
Oh, my God. I mean, okay. I'm seeing a real pattern here.
Come on. Three in a row is ridiculous.
Come on, oh.
I love Omar Khan. Oh, wait. Omar Khan. And so is Ally McKay.
Thank you.
Oh, all right.
Ally getting some love,
someone's
too.
Someone's spreading the love, yeah.
Thanks,
sort
Omar.
Of an afterthought. But...
Omar, I'd love to ace your deuce.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of Omar loving these, huh?
Yeah. It's very strange. You noticed? That Afro pick machine knows how to pick them.
Wow, that's crazy.
Omar, please never sing for us. You are a little bit on the hot side. Thanks.
All right, I'll take it.
Yeah, hot Omar is now known as Homar around here. We made the mistake of putting him on our Instagram a couple times, and the ladies will not leave us alone.
Even his
Guys, it's Tyler777 calling again. Listener, me, love you a long time. I was calling because I actually had a question for Allie. Allie, you and I haven't really gotten to know each other that well, and I would have imagined that we could probably find a common ground on so many different things. But for now, I have a question for you. What's it like to work with Omar?
This is crazy.
Whiplash!
What are the chances? I really went along for that ride.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, guys. This is for both Kevin and Bean and the B-Team podcast.
Okay.
Double team. There we go. I have to clarify a lie. Omar is not hot. Omar is a basic bitch. He says it himself, guys.
I call myself a basic bitch for my love of Olive Garden, because I love Olive Garden, and I think it's great Italian food.
It is, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not great Italian food, but I love it.
DJ Omar Khan is a fire! That DJ's a fire!
It's probably one of my clients right there. Probably DJ'd his party, you know?
This is super odd.
By the way,
are there any calls that aren't about Omar Khan that we're allowed to hear?
There was that question for Ali.
Yeah, I got a question.
Yeah, which was what it's like to work with Omar.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Well, look at Mr. Omar. Suddenly you're a star of a podcast. Women everywhere swooning for you. You have the love of Phil and Jenny or Sue and Steve, whatever their names are.
That's us. Oh. I'm assuming.
Suddenly you're the hot look at you flicking your card at people, looking down on people that are just trying to do their jobs because they have a fear of losing their job if they don't do it fairly. And plus, if he were to let you cut, everyone there would be upset with him. He was doing his job. You are a super mega...
What's he talking about?
He's talking about the gas station attendant where I had a little coffee card and I flicked it at him.
Oh, you were such a D-bag.
Yeah. Such a D-bag.
Yeah. Albeit good-looking, delicious dick, you are a dick.
Unbelievable.
Omar's a dick! 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 Omar's a dick! 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 Omar's a dick! 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 But he's a pretty good-looking dick. Omar's a dick, dick, dick. Omar's a dick, dick, dick. A good-looking dick, dick, dick. What a hot-looking dick. Omar's a dick, dick, dickity dick. If you want to hire this dick to DJ,
what?
Just hit up his website.
What?
DJ Omar. Omar, 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 you're a giant dick. Dick. Omar, 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 you're a hot guy. Dick. DJ Omar got to book this dick. Dick. Omar, you're such a hot dick. Dick, dick, dickity dick. Omar, you're such a big dick. Omar, you're such a giant dick. Good looking.
out of time.
Good looking guy, but a dick.
520-AFRO. Kevin to be that for life.
You can call about stuff other than. How did Omar flip a switch and become Omar? How did he get so hot so fast?
I don't think he flipped a switch. I think he's always been super attractive to me.
Yeah. I agree. He's a super hot dude. It wasn't until an Instagram live when people were like, wait, that's Omar?
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember, was it a year ago, year and a half ago, when Steve Carell all of a sudden became hot? He went from the dorky Michael Scott of The Office to, oh my God, he's so hot now. And I think that might have been, did he grow a beard? Is that what he did?
He had a beard. Jimmy became really
Jimmy
hot.
Became
Jimmy
became hot when he got a beard?
Yeah. But Omar doesn't have a beard.
But just be Omar.
Yeah.
Look, he's just been hot the whole time. Yeah. People don't know it.
His hotness transcends hair.
I guess we should have listened to Kevin.
That's what I'm hoping my whole thing is, too.
What?
Like, just over time, I'll get hotter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
sit
what I
tight.
Mean? Yeah, I'll wait it out.
Yeah.
I'm patient more than anything.
That's good.
All right, we appreciate you listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on this Tuesday morning. If you miss any of the show, by the way, don't forget we do have a podcast. You know, it's maybe you listen at this time every day and you miss all the good stuff that happens in the 6 o'clock hour or in the 9 o'clock hour. So you can get the podcast at radio.com or wherever. You're not missing this, though, because it's time for this week's Animal Stories. Hit it, Steve.
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
No matter how hot he is, I keep telling Omar there's no such animal as a minx, and he refuses to take it out of the intro, but here we are anyway. You guys, I'm sure, saw this story because it was everywhere, and it's a rare triple play here because it's What's Up with Florida, Animal Stories, and Death Corner all rolled into one.
I do find most of my people are dumb stories from Florida as well.
Mm-hmm.
The state that keeps giving.
I was not super familiar with the big bird known as a cassowary. I have seen them before, but you don't hear much about them. This is the world's most dangerous bird, you guys. It stands almost 6 feet tall.
Wow!
Yeah.
And weighs up to 120 pounds. It has sharp claws that can slice open any predator or potential threat with a single swift kick. It runs 30 miles an hour and can jump nearly 7 feet straight up in the air and swim like a champion.
This is a monster.
Yeah, that's a dinosaur. It's
Come
not
on.
A bird.
It really is
we
the most.
We need to put that down.
Yes.
It's the most dangerous bird in the world. And this poor sucker, a 75-year-old named Marvin Hajos, was not only not putting them down, Kevin, he was raising them. He had a farm full of caraways.
He deserves whatever happens next, then.
Well, whatever happened is he fell down on his property and one of his birds fatally attacked him. His wife said, and I don't know how this helps, that he was doing what he loved when he died, which was what? Getting his eyes scratched out by a giant bird? It doesn't seem like that's
Every
how anyone
he gets
wants
up
to
and
go.
He goes, come on, scratch out the eyes.
Yeah. So, R.I.P. Mr. Hajos, and let's not get cassowaries as pets, all right? Cassowaries as pets, all right?
Agreed.
Here's a small plane crash that was in the news that killed a 90-year-old pilot. Now, ordinarily, you might see this story and think, well, the guy was 90. He probably wasn't up to it. He wasn't
doing what
attention.
He loved.
But he was doing what he loved, which is going down in a flaming airplane. Apparently, he has had his active commercial pilot's license since 1945.
Wow.
And at 90, was still flying about two or three times a week. It was his absolute passion. How did he die? It seems like his dog killed him. Jasmine, a 70 to 75-pound Labradoodle, apparently, this is the conclusion of the NTSB, is that somehow the dog got into the controls, fell into or pushed into or something like that, and forced the plane down.
No!
Yes.
Maybe he just got too old, and he's like, you want to give it a try?
Yeah, he thought it was a co-pilot.
So he switched seats.
You take over, Jim.
He was like, Jim, we got the Nazis again. We got to take them out. Take the wheel. I'll shoot.
Well, this is what's interesting to me. So the NTSB, they do their analysis like they do. They said that the engine data shows that there were no mechanical issues with the plane. They were able to take a look at the path, and it looked like it just went just straight down into the ground. He had no drugs or alcohol in his system. But here's the curious part for me. The plane crashes. The dog unbuckles his seatbelt, jumps out of the plane and starts running away from the wreckage.
The dog was fine.
The dog did it on purpose. The dog killed him.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
How does a dog unbuckle its seatbelt?
How does a dog crash a plane?
Why is it in a seatbelt?
And get away with it. I think this dog took the old man out.
Yeah. It's like Cujo learned to fly.
I don't like it.
It is. I'm sure there'll be a movie. I don't need to tell you more of this story than the headline, but this is one of those rare occasions where in animal stories you're rooting for the animals. A skull and a pair of trousers is all that remained after a suspected rhino poacher was killed by an elephant and then eaten by lions in Kruger National Park, South Africa.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it.
Support it.
I mean, we're totally down with the rhinos and the elephants and the lions in that case,
and the
right?
poachers are the worst.
Absolute worst, yeah. A lot of Kevin and Bean listeners sent me the story this week, and it is, in fact, terrifying. This is a 28-year-old woman. Her name is just identified as Ms. Hay, H-E. I assume it's Hay, he, perhaps. She was weeding around her relatives' graves. It's apparently an annual festival where she lives in China, where you go out and that's what you do. It's called a tomb sweeping festival, and you go out and you clean up around your loved one's graves.
Festival seems to be a bad word. It seems to be inaccurate.
Yeah. Put down flowers. It's just once a year to make sure that there's maintenance. Okay. So a gust of wind blew something into her eyes that she thought was dirt. However, hours later, her eyes were still swollen and it really hurt. So she decided to go for medical help in a hospital in southern Taiwan. A badly swollen eye when she walked in. She couldn't even completely close her eyes. The doctor says, I looked into the gap with a microscope, and I saw something black that looked like an insect leg.
Oh,
I grabbed the leg and very slowly pulled it out. And then another one. And then another. And another. They were bees.
Nope.
That were all intact and all alive.
No!
And in her eye.
Hold on. What?
Yes, these are, in fact, they even call them, this is not their official name, but the nickname is sweat bees. They are attracted to tears. They apparently get nutrients out of tears, that's what they go for, is they go for your eyes. She had four of them in her eyes.
How big are these?
They,
6 feet. Isn't that weird?
Oh.
Yeah, each one.
I mean, they're small enough that they can get into her eyes, but, it's not good, I'll tell you that.
Is that your official diagnosis?
These bees don't usually attack people. They like drinking sweat, hence they get their name. And the doctor said that she was very, very lucky that she didn't rub her eyes or something like that, because they do release a venom that can kill you.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah. It's not...
I hate animal stories.
It's not what you hope at all. And one more, and this is, we have audio for this one. This is a, what kind of a bird is he?
Terrifying, if this is any sort of pattern today.
It's not a castaway.
Kill someone?
He's probably a parrot. He's a parrot or a cockatoo or something like that. His name is Mr. Magoo. And he really has some problems with the music that his owner is having Alexa play. She recently wanted to enjoy a little Frank Sinatra. Here's what Mr. Magoo had to say about it.
To be part of it, New York, New York.
Alexa, stop.
Mago, I like that song. Alexa, Alexa, play New York, New York.
Scene from New York, New York, by Frank Sinatra.
Alexa, stop.
That's the bird saying, Alexa, stop?
No.
Yes. That's the best thing I've ever heard.
You guys, they're getting smarter. They crashed a plane.
That's insane.
This is all bad.
Bird sounds like a man.
Mr. Magoo is like Sinatra, F you. And that's Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53.
One of our favorite and certainly most impressive guests we ever have on the Kevin and Bean Show on the regular is Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race. And that's Hulk Hogan.
Eat your vitamins, say your prayers.
No, this is Phil Kogan, you guys, The Amazing Race dude.
Oh, he's got 30-inch pythons, though, right?
Mm-hmm. He was born in New Zealand, then
I
lived in Canada.
I love my daughter a little too much.
And now the United States and has
I
been
was married to Linda, sued Gawker.
120 countries. So he is fascinating. He'll tell us all about the new 31st season of Amazing Race coming up. First, Allie's got what's happening here on a Tuesday.
Well, we started off the morning talking about Game of Thrones monster ratings, and then we found out that not only did Bean watch it, Kevin watched it.
I loved it.
Jensen now says, I think I'm going to be into it, too.
I'm jumping in.
We had taken calls on Friday, like, get us caught up. It didn't work out great because we had Dave kind of leading that discussion.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Kimmel's here to help us out because he did a segment as well on his show where you can actually call in and ask the actual cast members questions.
Game of Thrones is the most popular show on television, but with so many characters, plots, and locations, it can be difficult to keep track of what's going on. Now there's help with Game of Phones. For just $2.99 a minute, our certified experts will give you the answers you can trust.
$2.99 a minute.
Right? Like, who do you go to other than the cast members? They're going to have all the answers,
right? Yeah,
they
know it all.
So let's start off first with Sophie Turner, who, of course, plays Sansa Stark.
Game of Phones.
Who poisoned King Joffrey?
No one did. It turned out to be a bad clam. Remember, you have to tap the shells to make sure they're alive before you cook them. It's clam 101.
I didn't know that. It was a bad clam?
It's clam 101.
You don't want a bad clam. I've said that for years. Next, we're going to turn to Cersei?
Yep.
The lady that... Shame. Her.
No question is too awkward.
I have a crush on my brother. What should I do?
Nothing. It's illegal and immoral to act on those feelings. On the other hand, if he's hot, go for it.
Oh, okay. All right. Very helpful. Next up, a question for Hodor.
Can I have your HBO Go password?
No, absolutely not.
Is it Hodor?
Oh,
And finally, a question for Sir Davos Seaworth.
Game of Thrones, how can I help?
Yes, when Sir Davos got his penis cut off...
Whoa, you're thinking of Theon Greyjoy. Davos had his fingertips cut off, his penis is fine.
I'm pretty sure he got his penis cut off.
My penis is perfect! You want me to show you my penis?
Don't white walk, white run to your phone today to call Game of Phones. No habla Dothraki.
There you have it.
Very helpful.
Very helpful. Bad clam, not his penis.
Okay,
got it.
We're all caught up.
Excellent. I had somebody tweeted me and said, listening to you guys talk about Game of Thrones is so frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
It ruined lives.
And he sent me a link of a 53-minute video that will catch you up completely on everything you need to know.
We're good.
Yeah. If I had 53 minutes to watch a video, I would have been watching Game of Thrones.
It's true. It's very true. So you guys know Star Wars Celebration in Chicago. It was a huge deal over the weekend. But something that came out of that was a very rare action figure. It's a 1979 Boba Fett toy with a firing rocket pack. It was selling on the Star Wars Celebration floor. I'm going to tell you how much it was worth, but let me just give you a little background.
Okay.
Maybe then you could figure out what the price was. It's considered precious because it's only one of three of its type known to exist. And it represents the fulfillment of a broken promise. What does that even mean? Well, a year before anyone ever saw Boba Fett hunt down Han Solo in 1980's The Empire Strikes Back, the toy maker Kenner began hyping this action figure. They had illustrations of it firing a spring-loaded red missile out of its rocket pack. People were like, I don't know who this Boba Fett dude is, but I want him. I need him. I know nothing about him. I need it. So the kids who bought four other Star Wars figures would then cut their proof of purchase seals, mail them in, and receive the Boba Fett for free in 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow.
But here's where the sad bassoon comes in.
Okay.
The last minute, Kenner, the toy makers, were like, oh, that's a big old choking and eye gouging hazard. Mm. We can't release this toy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Have you seen a picture of it?
I have seen a picture of it. It's Boba Fett, and then what looks like
it's a dildo.
Yep, next to it, sure does.
It really is.
What did they do? So they decided to not make it, and they had only sent out just a handful of them to kids.
They hadn't really even sent any of them out, but there were prototypes and display versions that lasted. This is one of those.
Whoa, that sounds rare.
Very, Very rare, you guys. So how much would a 1979 Boba Fett toy with what looks like a brown dildo next to him cost you?
I'm going to say, when you consider the Star Wars universe and the mania surrounding it, I'm going to say the number of decades in the past and how few there are, $65.
Jeez. Come on.
I'm going to say $750,000.
Okay.
I'm going to say $2,500.
All right. I can't tell you who's closest, but maybe Kevin. $365,000 is how much it's going for.
I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. You will?
$365,000 for a little piece of plastic?
Yeah. But it's Boba Fett.
And it's the only Star Wars dildo that exists that I know of.
No, it's not.
Wait, what?
What?
Allie, aren't they? Isn't George Lucas building a Star Wars museum of some sort?
He was, and I think down they...
In L.A. here?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was that, yeah. Remember, then they found the location, and I don't even know
what's
happening.
Because I was just wondering, this sounds like the type of thing that they need to get and put in the museum, right?
For sure, yeah, absolutely. What's happening with that museum? Does anyone know?
I'm looking it up. I think it's taking a long time.
It's taking, it was going to be a very long time. But...
Yeah.
Call now.
1-800. No,
I don't think we need that right now.
By the way, it's going to cost $1 billion.
Yeah.
The museum?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Holy crap.
1-800-500.
No.
Sir.
Nope.
We don't need it.
Call now.
Again.
Don't. Please.
Mm-hmm. Don't call now.
Ronda Rousey, you guys, has announced that she's on a, quote, impregnation vacation. She's stepping away from the WWE. Well, she works on getting knocked up and starting her own family. No word on how long Ronda plans to be away from the ring, but WWE has pointed out you're under contract till April 2021. So, comeback is expected.
I'm confused by this because lots of people have jobs that they still go to and also manage to get pregnant. You don't really need to take time off for it.
Well, she can't be doing the physicality.
Yeah. Are you... Bean, you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
Well, she can't wrestle. She might be able to come out and talk, but...
Why can't she wrestle?
When she's pregnant?
Well, she's not pregnant yet.
Oh, you're saying, why are you taking a vacation away?
Why do you have to leave to get pregnant?
Oh. To get pregnant, yes.
I think it kind of helps sometimes when you're more relaxed and you're not...
Okay, but what I'm saying is millions of women around the world have jobs and then get pregnant in their off time. They don't take time off from work to screw.
Wow, why do you care this much?
I didn't know playing that many Tom Likas clips turns you into Tom Likas.
Jeez.
Look, have you ever... All right, let me ask it another way. Have you ever heard of a woman taking time off of her job to get pregnant?
But if she can't, what's wrong with that?
But the job is a physical job, Bean.
Good for her.
She's not at an office. She's not like at a desk.
Right, but she's just going out and she's just doing her job. She has plenty of off hours to have sex is what I'm saying. I don't really listen to women.
Wow. Call now.
Okay. I don't know who that guy is.
Don't call now.
I mean, good luck. Look, I hope she gets pregnant. She has
no,
babies.
You
she's
don't.
Happy.
You hate her. You hate her vagina.
You hope she's
married. You hate her husband's semen.
No,
you hate it all.
No, I have no problems at all with her husband's semen. It's just weird. It's just weird that she's taking time off from work. And I can't believe you guys don't agree with me on that.
Would you think it was as weird if it was not called an impregnation vacation?
I don't love
that. What if I just said she's taking some time off? She wants to think about starting a family.
Be funny if they checked in, like, you two the ones that are banging? Okay, we're going to put you in this a bungalow a little ways away.
I'm just saying. It's worded weird for you, I think is what it is.
What is going through the mind of Ronda Rousey right now?
That's an excellent question, sir. I was wondering the same thing.
Good for her. That's what I'd like to say.
Yeah. Sorry that Bean doesn't want you to start a family, Ronda.
I do.
Right?
If Christine came to us tomorrow and said, guys, I'm going to need the next 2 months off because I hope to get pregnant, we would say, why do you need to leave your job to have sex?
No, I wouldn't say that. I'd probably say good luck because there's probably something going on that she needs to take some time off to focus on.
I mean, she only works 20 hours a day for us, so she does have an extra 4 hours where she could, you know, work.
Exactly.
On.
All right.
I'm with Bean.
We're out of time.
Oh, now we're out of time? You're deciding how we spend our time now?
I looked at the clock. I'm just saying.
You know what? He's spoken enough about when a woman should get pregnant. Allie, it's time for you to do the thing you need to do.
Yeah, let me wrap this up for you, Bean.
Could you?
Please.
Happy birthday, Ellen Barkin, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Chance the Rapper, Claire Foy, Peter Billingsley, John Cryer, and our very own Kat Corbin.
Hi, that is Kat. Not attractive.
Let's decide next hour who will go first.
It's Kat.
I hate all of you.
How hot is it?
Got another pair of tickets you can win for Universal Studios Hollywood. Giving them away all morning long on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the week at K-Rock. Plus a bonus chance to win a 4-pack of Universal Studios Hollywood California Neighbor Passes, available right now at krock.com. So why don't you check it out, you guys?
All right, let's talk about back-in parking. Backing up parking. What do you call it? Reverse parking.
Backing into a spot parking?
Yes. Yeah. Let's call it D-bag move, right.
Let's call it that.
Yeah. We have some listeners. If you're a tool, you back into your parking space.
Wow.
I mean, Dean's coming hard at people that are doing this.
It's wrong. Because... it's not the thing to do.
All right, listen. Grant and Sarah are married, and they both...
I mean, not for long.
Right?
This is tearing them apart.
With this kind of nightmarish marriage.
It does sound like this is the deal breaker. Who should we bring on first, or should we bring them on both together?
Grant, hi.
Hello.
Sarah,
hey,
hi.
Hi, good morning.
Okay.
Hi, Sarah. How long you kids? How long you kids been married?
We just had our 10-year anniversary actually in February.
You just had your last wedding anniversary.
It was a good run.
That's a pretty good run. 10 years these days is considered a successful marriage.
Yes, definitely.
So we got tweets from both of you a few days ago, and Grant I think hit us first, where he wrote to all of us on the show, Allie, Bean, Kevin, Jensen, reversing into parking spots. What's up, Sarah? My wife says it's a D-bag move. I found it easy, convenient, and a quick way to pull out. Ding. Thoughts. What are the circumstances here, Grant, of where you are doing this backing into your parking space and why? Before we hear your wife's rebuttal, I want to hear from you why you're reversing into a parking spot.
Okay, so it's not like I do it every single time. It's mostly... where we live, there's a few parking
spots. I'm sorry, what, Sarah?
Yeah, Sarah has a cough, I think.
What did you say, Sarah?
I'm a liar.
Okay.
I hope she's not getting sick. Yeah,
me
hope
either.
She's okay.
So it's not like I do it everywhere out in the wild. There's just a few parking spots around the house where we live, and it's just easier for me to back up into the spot. It's kind of part of a routine. You know,
okay, but when you say it's easier, it's technically easier to pull frontwards into a spot than it is to back into a space. I mean, I think we can all at least, even if we come down on different sides of this, it is easier to pull into a space than it is to back into a space, correct?
It depends on how good of a driver you are, I guess.
Right?
No, I have to put my foot down. There is no universe where backing into a spot is easier than going in forward, but I will give you that leaving the spot then once you've backed into it is easier.
That's
but
where the convenience comes
in. It's a little bit easier that way as well.
Okay. Yes, it's definitely easier to pull out, but why lie about it being easier to pull in? I mean, already I'm predisposed to rule against you just because you're not bringing us full facts here.
That's all facts. All facts. So I don't have to back up and like have to look to see if I'm straight, or you just pull, you know, you just kind of do a little 3-point turn going forward and then back up straight. You're all good.
All right, Sarah, why do you hate it?
I cannot stand it.
Because
it's just rude to the people who may be pulling in behind you, also looking for a parking spot, to do the 3-point turn to back into your spot.
Amen.
I think it's just the most obnoxious. Like, when I come home and see those headlights sticking out, I go into a rage blackout. Like, I don't even remember the walk from my driver's seat to the house because I'm just sitting there dividing, like, weekends and holidays with the kids. Like, mentally. Wow.
Hey, Grant, you need to get out.
You really do. Well, Sarah, I love your tweet to us where you said, where are you going in the morning that you're in such a hurry? Whole Foods will be there after a 3-point backout. Stop it. That's a great point. I mean, are you a race car driver or something, Grant? Where do you have to go that you can't give up that 8 seconds in the morning?
Yeah, well I'm a chef, so I go grocery shopping every morning. So everyone knows going grocery shopping first thing in the morning when no one's there is the best time to do it.
So you rarely have anyone waiting for you, because I think that's the part that makes you a douchebag.
I agree, yeah.
If no one's waiting on you, who cares? Oh, people are waiting on you.
No one's waiting on me, per se, but I have to have certain things done by a certain time at work. So it's part of a routine, you know? Like, if I park in that spot every time when I get home, so when I walk out in the morning, I turn right and I go down the stairs, and then I get in my car and I go. But if I have to park somewhere else, and it's straight, I have to go down the left stairs, and it just ruins my whole day.
Oh, wow. I've realized the problem is that Grant's a psychopath.
See, I would think of all people, Jensen and Bean would respect that aspect of it.
I do see it. He did connect with me there, but I also am like, dude, if you're really OCD, or I mean, you shouldn't, at least for me, backing into the spot creates a lot of issues. People walking by, dinging another car. You don't have as much control in the backup.
All right, here's what I'll say, though, is I back up like at my home where there's no traffic, no one's waiting on me.
Right.
And I know this is going to sound ridiculous and stupid, but when you get in and you pull your car straight out, it feels like, I know you're saving 2 seconds, it feels like you're saving 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
It's the best thing ever.
And not only that, to speak to Kevin's point, he's backing in when it's light out.
Correct.
So he can see, and he's pulling forward when it's dark out, which
Thank
is
you,
when
Allie.
You want to be pulling out forward.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't think God intended for us to do that. I think he intended us to park nose first.
Oh, Sarah's with you.
Yeah. Bringing God into it.
Sarah, what about Allie's point there about the light, about the fact that now you're pulling out in the dark where it might be safer to pull out forward?
Hello?
Hello?
When we leave in the morning, it's still light out, right, babe?
Oh wow,
she just brought the right babe.
Yeah, right babe.
Yeah.
Looking at him, right
Listen,
babe.
Can I add in one more thing too?
Yeah, certainly.
Art, my kids have gotten into this little like debacle in the house too. And Parker has told me, Grant, when you pull into a normal parking spot first, nose in, and then you back in, which means you're parking twice.
Okay. Oh, and you have snitch kids.
A, I love that your
snitches
son.
Get snitches,
yo,
by the way.
Hold on, your son's name is Parker.
Oh, believe it.
Pretty perfect.
We're talking about Parker.
Right. I'm a comic head, so his name's Parker for a reason.
You guys truly have little feds in your life.
Just
talk closer to my collar.
I didn't know that he was ratting me out.
Yeah.
Listen, we're ruining this family,
right?
You guys.
No, they're ruining themselves.
We're going to go to some calls on this. We hadn't even mentioned this, but every line is ringing hot right now at 1-800-520-1067. So I think we're going to say goodbye to the Lawsons here, but I will say, Grant, park however you want, unless you'd like to have sex again. Okay? That's where I think I would be.
I mean, that is
a good point.
It's the right choice.
And no matter what. Yeah.
And I think, Sarah, you'll back my play on that, right?
Yeah, you're losing half of your stuff anyway, Grant.
Exactly.
So who cares?
Well, I mean, he cooks dinner every day, guys, and breakfast, lunch, and the dog.
I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, I see.
He's a chef. So,
let him park where he wants.
Let's let him park. You know what I'm saying?
That's how they've lasted 10 years, you guys. All right, Grant and Sarah, we're going to say goodbye to you and thank you for listening and for tweeting at us. But be sure to be listening to Kevin Beecher because we're going to take a bunch of calls on this next, okay?
And we'll miss you, Bean.
Madison Parker, love you guys.
Thank you both. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you both.
Grant doesn't talk to his kids in person, only on the radio.
On the radio.
All right, 1-800-520-106. And we'll take your calls if you've got an opinion on this when we return on K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Hey, that's us. It's 22 minutes after 8.
Too busy yelling about parking spaces.
Right?
Our listeners, if you just joined us, Grant and Sarah are married but not for long because they have a constant battle in their home that Grant backs into his parking space and his wife says that's a douchebag move, just pulling forward like Jensen and me and the rest of the good God-fearing Americans. Allie, before we go to the calls, what's the tweet?
Not only did Jess tweet us, she included a picture and said, I back in because my front end is low and it will hit a curb. I have a backup camera that makes it easier to park so I don't damage my vehicle.
Boom.
What do you want, hydraulics? A car should be completely level all the way around. Get that fixed.
No, your front. If you have a low car, you can hit a curb in the front.
That sounds, I don't know.
No, I support Jess.
That sounds legit to me,
by the way. To me, if she's not holding anyone up, who cares?
Yeah.
If anyone is not holding anyone up, that's the thing to me. If you're holding somebody
Kevin,
up.
That, this goes back to the discussion of people who sit on the same side of the diner table. Who cares? It's only them. But it still can be annoying to you.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right, take it
those
easy.
Those people need to go to hell.
They do need to go to hell. Let's talk to Debbie. She's in L.A. Apparently, where she works, you're required to back into your parking space.
Oh.
Hey, Debbie. What happens when you start talking seriously about letting Bernie Sanders run things? You start getting rules like this.
Hey, Debbie.
What's going on?
So I work for the phone company, and we are required to back into our parking space, or if you're in a public parking lot, you have to pull completely through your space so that you are backed in, so you can pull straight out when you're leaving.
Why are you required to do that?
Because it's safer. It's been proven that it's safer. We have to do driver safety every year if you drive a company vehicle. And they've proven that it's safer if you back in. I guess you're supposed to be more alert when you're going to your job as opposed to when you're leaving your job after you're finished.
How about that?
That makes perfect sense.
Debbie's on my side. How about that?
I'm sorry. Huh. I'm not tracking with this. So you're telling me that employees are sharp enough to be able to back into a parking space in the morning, mm-hmm. but when they leave work 8 hours later, they suddenly have forgotten how to drive and they don't know how to back out of one?
They're like, it's too late!
No. We drive to different jobs during the day. Mm-hmm. So when you go to a job, when you arrive at the job, they think that you're more alert. So they would prefer that it's kind of required. They require you to back into the parking space because they think that when you're leaving, that it's safer for you to just pull directly out rather than backing out.
It's a reach. Like it. It's a reach.
And I agree.
It. No, it's a reach.
It. It's a good policy, Debbie. Thank you.
Yeah, because we always look to the phone company for efficiency.
Oh, I just got a tweet that said 75% of all fender benders happen when people back out of parking spots. Thank you, J.C. Conch.
Oh, somebody made up a statistic to back up the way he drives?
It's now more dangerous.
He's now laughing that we pretended that was a fact.
Yeah, he is. I've heard that 110% of accidents are because people don't pull out of spots properly.
Yeah,
how about
that?
That
at all.
Let's try Andy, please. Bellflower, line one. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Great. What's up? Weigh in.
All right, I'm with you guys. 80% of the time, it's a douche move. But if you're driving a bigger vehicle, such as like a Toyota Tundra or a huge van, I had a traumatic experience. I checked left and right. I looked back 5 times before I pulled out a couple years ago. And I'm an animal lover, but I accidentally ran over a dog.
Oh, Andy.
And check it out. You can look left and right. You can look behind you all you want. But if that vehicle's sitting, higher than your little Mazda Miata, you can't see something.
All right. And he's right as well. Okay. Congratulations.
I'm not going to defend this. I get that this is a big problem. But can't you run into the same problem backing into it? I mean, you don't have a lot of visibility.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, you have to do it at some point.
Yes, at some point you've got to back up. Now, Andy, let me ask you, because I totally get what you're talking about, but why do you think 80% of the time it is a douche move for people to back into their spaces?
I totally all the time see people in little Porsches and, like I said, Mazda Miatas backing in for no reason, and that's a complete waste of time. You can see everything around that vehicle, and
so
now
you think
like you guys said.
It should be for bigger trucks.
Size of the vehicle.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the size of the vehicle has to do with it.
Let's just hope that Andy hit a racist dog.
Right?
Yeah, like you talked about the dog from yesterday.
A Zoe.
All right. Let's do one more, Kevin. Let's make it a Zeus's Philip line 8, our final call here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Philip.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
What do you got? You're the final word on this.
Always back in at home.
You always back in at home. So you're Team Grant, not Team Sarah. How come?
It's safer when you're leaving. If you have to leave in a hurry, I live in Azusa right there against the hills. I mean, if there's a fire, an earthquake, or any other emergency, you're out. And for people to say it's a douche move to sit there and back into a parking spot out in public, how many times are you sitting there waiting on someone to make a point turn just to get out of their stall?
Interesting. You have to wait for the guy to back up and make the 3-point turn to get out of his parking space.
Same amount of time.
Philip's emergency argument finally got to me a little bit.
All right.
Really?
A little bit. But
because you know how often there are fires and earthquakes in Azusa where you have to immediately leave.
Azusa has a ton of earthquakes.
And you could always just flip it when, it's not a problem.
But Philip, doesn't it feel like you're saving a couple of minutes when in reality you're not at all?
I'm just so used to doing it. Does it. Every once in a while she won't. Every once in a while she'll nose into the driveway. About the only time I nose it in the driveway is if I'm coming in hot and I got to hit the head.
Hmm. Okay.
So if you got to pee bad, you'll pull right in. Okay.
Right.
I think that's the policy. I think depending on how badly you have to urinate, that you decide on how you park. All right. So Grant and Larson, I think those kids are going to make
it. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Our friend Phil Kogan is in the next room, going to be joining us just after 9, host of The Amazing Race, returning tomorrow night on CBS for its 31st season, you guys.
That's insane, right?
31st!
Yeah, you're
insane.
Yeah, we heard you.
Love Phil. He'll be joining us first. Ali's got
asshole.
What's happening. Nope,
why
not at
would
all.
You
what?
Say
super
that?
Good dude.
Why?
Super good dude.
That is awful.
Here's Ali with what's happening.
Guys, I think this Game of Thrones show might really be taking off.
What?
I think some people might be watching it. And by some people, Well, just a massive ratings record for its final season premiere on Sunday. HBO pulled in 17.4 million viewers. That's
coming up, Milhouse.
That's an insane number when you think about how many people just don't have HBO.
Don't like, have the money to get that. It's an extra pay. Yeah, of course.
That's not a CBS. That's not an NBC. This is HBO. 17.4 million viewers.
Yeah. That's high praise.
Yeah. It's amazing, you guys. So I think it might be around. So, Jensen, thank you for getting us up on that.
Yeah, no, I mean,
Weeks ago.
I got to get you guys up on things that people might not know about yet, things
about
that
have
not yet hit mainstream. And this week is Game of Thrones on HBO. It is a show that it follows a book, I think.
Okay.
A series. Yeah.
Well, why haven't we heard about it before, Jensen?
No one's talking about it.
You know what?
This?
But that's what I do for this show. I bring things in that you need to know more about.
How much is going to hurt HBO when this show is over? It is their most successful show ever, I think.
I think so, yeah. They're talking about making a prequel, but I don't know that that's necessarily... Yeah, it'll be a while, and I don't know that it's necessarily going to be at that level. But
right after this, they're going to be doing the documentary on what it was like filming the final season. That'll do gangbuster numbers, too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, this well is not dry, guys.
No. Yeah. At least they have Veep. Oh.
Oh, that's right. That's one way, too.
Oh, man.
You have a tough season next year.
What are you doing, HBO? But Barry, we've got Barry.
We do have Barry.
Not going anywhere.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
I love Barry. I love Veep. Oh, Sunday nights, guys,
but I mean,
right?
Do you remember when they had Sopranos and Six Feet Under and people were like, what's going to happen now?
Yeah.
You know,
right?
And they always recover.
Absolutely.
The Wire, you know, Deadwood. I mean, it's been...
Oh, Deadwood's coming back.
Yeah.
Like 45 days or so. Don't quote me. But it's coming back in like a month and a half.
45 days or so.
It sounded really specific, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's coming back soon.
Yeah.
Dave reminds us that they're debuting Watchmen, too.
Yeah, from Damon Lindelof. Yep.
Yeah. All right, I think we're okay now. I think
we're gonna be
HBO's going to survive. Yeah.
Good. Okay. You guys, what do you think about holograms?
I mean, I wouldn't pay to go see one, but I do think the technology is going to get better to the point where we're going to start seeing more of them.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool to see Tupac at Coachella. That was cool, but I haven't really seen one in person since.
But wasn't that
I saw
just
that video of Roy Orbison from a few weeks ago, and it looked very realistic about their playing with a band, and it really did look like on the video, like it was really him just standing on a stage.
But like the Tupac one was just an actor, right?
No, it was a hologram.
No, he
are you joking?
Yeah.
No, I'm not joking.
No, it was a hologram.
All right, I'm.
But it was a very old school, like first generation hologram. They can do a lot more with them now.
Okay.
Like you could only see that one head on.
Jensen
the ones
thinks
that
it's
they
an
have
actor.
Now, you can see. I think 360. You can.
I mean,
see
don't
all
get me
around.
Wrong. It was a hologram. I just don't think that they used old Tupac footage.
You thought it was an actor in a hologram as Tupac?
Still do.
Really?
Huh? Oh. Wow. All right.
Well, why do you bring it up, Addie?
Well, I bring it up because Dio Returns is a hologram show that's going to be touring this summer. So Ronnie James Dio has passed away, and they're going to use live projections of him. And former Judas Priest singer Tim Ripper Owens is going to tour as part of that show. And he's very confused over people not liking this. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get it because he said, well, you watch people portray people on screen, living legends, or not living, people that were living, legends on screen, that's just a projection onto the screen.
Right.
You'll watch a movie like a Bohemian Rhapsody and love it. This is even more interactive. You're getting to see some of the songs. He doesn't understand why people don't like it. He then brought up a point, which I thought, God, maybe he's right. He said, why are you objecting to a hologram and you'll go to a wax museum and take a picture with Lemmy and be like, this is the coolest thing ever?
Yeah, wax museums suck.
Well, you hate wax museums.
Oh,
that
the
we
worst.
Know.
Irrationally, you hate wax
Please.
Museums.
But I thought that was such an interesting thing that he brought up. And it's Wendy Dio is the one that's making this all happen. She spent a ton of money. Obviously, it's her husband. It's the blessing of her to be able to do this.
I don't think I would go to an entire hologram show.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I mean, it seems like a novelty more than.
But his point is, if you'll go see somebody play Freddie Mercury in the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, why wouldn't you be excited about seeing actual Freddie Mercury as a hologram playing with the members of Queen doing a concert?
I never even thought about it like that, but it makes sense.
does make sense.
Yeah.
I've been
Way
quiet.
To go, Tim Ripper Owens.
Just so everyone knows, I've been quiet just proving I was right. So.
Okay. Oh, you were right.
Yeah,
it was an actor.
Yeah. It was a magician's trick. They filmed a guy who looked like Tupac, mm-hmm. and then they projected it. It was a hologram, yes, but it's not used
but it
for
wasn't old footage.
No,
of
it's an
Tupac.
Actor. Yeah.
Interesting.
How do you know that?
I just looked at the article.
Wow.
It's online,
yeah.
So it can't be wrong?
No. Actually, to be honest with you, the reason I know is because I met the dude.
And he looks just like
the same dude who plays him in all the movies?
Yeah, we used him in a comedy sketch years ago. And at the time when he told me, I thought he was lying. So I went home and looked it all up, and it's true. They just filmed a dude.
I did find it odd when Tupac came up. He said, "What the F is up, Coachella?"
Right.
I was like, well, they must have dubbed that in from somebody else, but it didn't occur to me that maybe it was an actor.
Yeah, well, for the record, I don't know if they digitally manipulated his voice to say Coachella. They could have done that. I just know that visually, the guy who's doing all the stuff is an actor.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Santa's not real?
Well, that I have to talk to you about off air.
Okay.
Wow, this guy's sad.
Don't ever blurt that, Kevin. Ever.
Santa's real. I was just asking Jensen.
Yeah,
he was
joking.
Right, of course.
And why would you ask a Jew?
What the hell does Jensen know?
Really? By the way, you guys, remember when I said about 45 days?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And don't quote me.
It's 45 days.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Why?
How lucky are you?
I don't know. Things are real weird, you guys. What else do you want to talk about? You know that street in San Francisco that has all those zigzags that you come down?
Lombard Street.
Lombard Street. Mm-hmm. And all the people that live on that street are like, hey, stop driving down my street. It's insane. It's
Should
like
have thought
20...
about that before you bought a house on that street.
Well, here's the question. Wow. See, that I don't get. An estimated 6,000 people a day visit that 600-foot-long street, creating lines of cars that stretch for blocks. The people on the street have said, listen, it's overcrowded. It's like an amusement park. They leave trash, everything. Why can't we figure this out? So now...
Move.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
They want the city to approve charging it. So, yes, you are charging it as a public road. So maybe pay $5, make a reservation that day or whatever. Say, I'd like the 3 p.m. slot, give $5, $10, whatever. I think that's a good idea. And then that money will be spent in the city or for upkeep. I think that's a great idea.
So privatize a public road?
I believe that's what I'm saying.
So you're another one of those socialists.
Yeah. Sounds good, Burns.
Okay. Feeling the burn with Ally McKay.
If I lived on that street,
if you lived
I
on
would...
that street, you'd be way in favor
Absolutely.
Of that.
Yeah.
If you lived on that street, you would know that before the street was there before you were born.
Got it, move, got it.
Next thing you know, we're going to have cow farts over there just completely making up all our energy with windmills giving us cancer.
Ally, you buy, this is, you know what this is? This is, I'm going to buy the Back to the Future house and I'm going to be furious every time somebody wants to take a picture in front of the Back to the Future house. That's what this is.
I think that's different than people that are literally driving down your street blocking for 20 hours a day. There are cars on that street.
Oh, and they didn't know that when they bought it.
I don't
Is that not part of the reason why they bought it is because they want to live on the most famous street in America.
But how long have people been driving down that street like that?
As long as the street was built.
No, I think maybe 15 years.
No, I lived there 30 years ago and
no,
people did
didn't.
It all the time. Yes,
you,
I did.
You didn't live.
You didn't live
I lived
there.
In San Francisco 30 years ago.
You had
ago.
No head.
And believe me,
there
every time
feet.
Somebody came to visit, I drove them down Lombard Street. Didn't cost me a penny.
And was there insane amounts of traffic back then? No, because stupid things like Instagram and live videos didn't exist. So
Boom.
Times have changed, sucker.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, feel the burn,
yeah, but
everybody.
Still.
Yeah.
Oh my God, do I like Bernie?
It's my
You're Allie, turning into
you
one.
You are Bernie.
Allie, it's my money. I'm not gonna share my money with everyone. You know what I mean? You socialist pig.
Wow.
Yeah.
Took some real turns.
Got ugly.
I mean, Deadwood, though, back in 45 days.
Right.
Stop reporting me, bro.
It's true.
Agreed.
Some birthdays for you. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Ellen Parkin, John Cryer, Martin Lawrence, Peter Billingsley, Claire Foy, Chance the Rapper, and our very own Kat Corbett. Our very own Kat Corbett. God damn it, Bean.
Exhausting, by the
right?
way. This Phil. This Does Phil Kogan come in?
Does Phil Kogan is exhausting?
He's talking about putting honey on your wounds and talking about who invented basketball. And
I think he just came in and just started making crap up.
Yeah. He's just monologuing.
Just lying.
We haven't even said hello yet.
Everything you've said is a lie, I think.
He is the Emmy Award-winning host of The Amazing Race, Believe It or Not, which is returning for its 31st season tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Phil, welcome back to the Kevin DeBean Show, my friend. How are you?
Always nice to be back. Thanks for having me back.
It's our pleasure. Have you, since your last visit, which probably was 3 months ago, have you written two more books and ridden across the continent on a bicycle and tried to kill a contestant with a watermelon? Have you done all the things you usually do?
Bean, I feel like maybe he made all that up, too. Have you been lying to us the whole time?
Phil, do you have
this
a TV
is a long
show?
Con.
I am the failing Phil Kogan, just like the failing New York Times. Yeah, no, there's nothing true. Man, I know I've been busy. I was hosting National Geographic Explorer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was really busy, and I've been doing this podcast, which I'm loving because I don't have to get approval from anybody to be
sure.
Like interview whoever I want to interview and talk to whoever I want to talk to. So I've really loved that.
Well, I saw you were able to book your dad on your podcast. Congratulations on that. That must have been a tough
guy. How'd you get him?
Yeah, well, he was in the house. Hey, Dad, what are you doing this morning? I got the camera set up. I'm ready to go. My dad was a greeter on Amazing Race 13, and people love him. And I thought, you know what? I'll do it for Father's Day, kind of words of wisdom. And I really look up to my dad. I've been on lots of great adventures.
Does he lie like you do?
Yes, he does.
He does, okay.
Through his teeth. And, no, it's just, you know, it's so, in fact, what I did, now that we've gone over 30 seasons, was I actually got Robin Brennan, the original, the OGs of Amazing Race, the first winners of Amazing Race, and I sat him down to talk about what it was like for them going back to the very first Amazing Race.
And
which,
not knowing anything about it like everybody does now.
Exactly. And you know, what was really interesting out of the conversation was just to get their perspective. But what you realize is, can you imagine you go back to when we launched September the 8th, 2001, and someone said, oh yeah, Phil, don't forget to send out a tweet to let the audience know that the show's on at 9 o'clock on CBS on Wednesday. It'll be like, a tweet? What are you, a twat? What's wrong with you? Well, and then don't forget to Instagram and do your story. And I mean, the world has changed.
Yeah. A lot has changed.
A bit, sure.
Yeah, and 31 seasons, can you imagine? I mean,
unbelievable.
And I'm still employed. And that is not, that's for real. Because I'm getting paychecks, I'm telling you.
Yeah,
you're still employed.
Yeah, I'm still employed.
Phil, so you can press that.
Let me ask you, and also ask you to paraphrase what the first winners said. Do they feel that the game obviously has changed a lot because you want to mix it up to make it fresh every season, but do they feel that the game is harder now than it was when they competed?
Well, I think it was harder then in certain ways, and now it's harder now in other ways because just because the world has changed so much. But if you look at the cut of season one compared to where we're at now, just like also you realize how fast everything changes. Like you look at the footage, you look at the cars, you look at even the planes we were flying on. Thank goodness we're not flying on that Max plane, whatever it is. But I'm just saying, like, the whole world has just changed so dramatically.
You had an afro in 2001.
I did.
Was weird.
I definitely had more follicles. I know that. No, and I looked like a little kid, like I just, you know, graduated college or something. So, and what's really interesting now is to have people who are like 14 years old who weren't even born.
Yeah.
Who then come up to me and go, oh man, we've been binge watching The Amazing Race. And, you know, we're up to season 23 or something.
Oh my
and
gosh.
You know,
love
and
it.
You realize they weren't even born. And that really is.
That happens to us on this show all the time. We have guests now fairly frequently who were born after we started doing this radio show, Phil.
How long have you guys been doing this now?
271 years.
30 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to you guys.
And
seriously.
To you as well.
I mean, I think they're just waiting for us to die, to be truthful.
How many more years do you think you got?
You know, another 20.
Yeah, 20.
So, Phil, you've mentioned this. This is no trade secret. You've brought this up on the air. You've talked about it in interviews before. But it doesn't take a season's worth of television to film The Amazing Race. You do the entire season 31, for instance, in how many days?
Roughly 21 days. So 12,
oh my gosh.
12 shows, 21 days. So I always say, you know, people say, oh, man, you look like you were so tired and worn out. And I'm like, yeah, I was tired and I was worn out. And, you know.
But the contestants.
Yeah, but, well, the difference between the contestants, their race is quite different from ours. So
right.
What happens is they race, and then they stop at a pit stop. We interview them, and then they rest and wait until they start the next leg. what happens with production is as soon as the last team has checked in, it's like we've got to hustle to get ready. We have to try to get ahead of them so we're not on the same plane, although a lot of times we are on the same plane going to the next destination, and that gets really hairy.
Are you trying to tell us that you as the host are working harder than them, those people who are doing the race?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Okay. Well, you have less downtime than they do. That's true.
It's a little bit like the Olympics, right? You've got the Usain Bolt guy who runs for 100 meters like all flat out and then he rests. And then we're like more like the marathon runners. We just run straight for 21 days. It does not stop. They do these sprints. They sprint, they rest. They sprint, they rest. No. It's,
I mean, couldn't they give you another couple days? Honestly, well, 21 days.
They used to, but listen, you think about what other show on Earth has the Earth as its stage, right? Yeah. I mean, we're not in a Big Brother house.
You're covering 25,000 miles.
And the rest, I mean, we've had races that have gone over 75,000 miles. This particular season is over 30,000 miles. One loop around the Earth is roughly 25,000 miles. So we're zigzagging. We're going from country to country, continent to continent. And so the scale of this is so enormous. Mm-hmm. And we're so spread out. And one of the great things about the new technology now is that we have this ability to communicate in ways that we couldn't before, where we can keep up with the story. Because I have to remind the audience and fans that when those teams check into the pit stop, they know more about what's happened on that leg than I do in that moment.
Interesting.
Because they've watched the episode. They've seen everything that's happened with all the teams cutting back and forth. I arrive there. I haven't seen any of it, right? I mean, maybe I pass them going past the challenge. Everything that I ask them and all my intel all comes from people texting me with story outlines about, you know, oh, so-and-so just had a breakdown. You know, Tyler and Corey just had a flat tire. Like, I have to...
In 30 seasons, have you ever had to guess?
I've had to guess.
You guys did that deal, that seemed hard.
So I heard you guys weren't getting on so well today. How'd you know?
Let me ask you one question before the break. And when we come back in part two with Phil Kogan, host of The Amazing Race, debuting tomorrow night with the new season, 9 o'clock, CBS. And we'll talk about all of the contestants this year and how this is the first time you guys have done this casting. Mm. But here's a question I have. If anyone sucks up to you, it doesn't do any good because you don't actually make any decisions that propel them forward, right? It's all on them and their times and when they get someplace first. In other words, it doesn't make any sense for them to suck up to you, right?
Yeah, I mean, they could do it just to make things, you know, more enjoyable on the road.
Okay. That's how the game was built.
It would help you, but not them.
I mean, it would be, yes, it would make my time a little more pleasant. But no, it has absolutely no bearing on their...
Oh, you have to hate that. Yeah, like, well, there should be a way that they could really butter you up and it would help
bribe me in some way.
Yes.
You know, like with a Swiss bank account. And then we could just say,
oh, you got to think about that for the next 30 seasons, you know? Phil.
Yeah.
I'm not positive. I'm not positive saying this out loud is the move, by the way.
No. I think let's bring that in.
All right.
You know, a strategic move. But
like
it has no effect. And people say, oh, you must decide, like, oh, you like a team. You're going to make this a non-elimination and this one an elimination. And I have to explain to them, listen, can you imagine if we suddenly, like, said, oh, we need an extra 4, 5, 6 hotel rooms in the next place. We need an extra 4, 5, 6 airfares. We need at that challenge with the donkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Forget having 10. We need 12. Yeah, I mean, no, you can't just go switch.
Yeah, you're not winging it.
No, you can't just make it up. Like, okay.
When we come back, we need to hear about the challenge with the donkeys.
Yes. And believe me, it is.
We'll be right back.
He honestly is the most interesting man in the world. Our friend Phil Kogan back in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Phil, I don't know how far back we go with you coming in at the start of the Amazing Race series, but it's been a long time. Every season, we have you back on to preview it for us, and we appreciate your time, sir.
Well, we were talking about almost 2 decades, I think, that, we, you know.
Long time, yeah.
Yeah.
How many miles do you fly a year?
About 250.
250,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, on average, although last year was more because I was hosting National Geographic Explorer last year.
Are you running from the law?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. Are
they all coach and middle seat?
No. No, they're not. But
To keep your miles, I hope.
I get to keep my miles, but some miles that I don't want to keep. Some airlines that I don't want to fly on again.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, I mean, Sahara Airlines, thank you very much.
Not so much again.
That was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Thank you.
See ya. Goodbye.
All right, Phil, let's talk about this season. You always mix it up. There's always something new. And this time you have gone to a different pool of contestants. Talk about it.
Yeah, well, hardcore Amazing Race fans did not like this idea. Some of them were not into this idea of taking Survivor contestants, Big Brother contestants, and Amazing Race contestants and mixing them all up in this reality mix. Of course, there are people who love all three shows, so they are super excited.
Right.
So it's created a lot of chitter-chatter online.
What was the complaint from the haters?
Well, the hardcore fans, and listen, I don't disagree with them. The hardcore fans love the original concept of Amazing Race, which is 11 teams of two. They're from all walks of life. Most of them never had a passport, never left their state, never traveled much. They're fish out of water, and we throw them out into the world to do challenges. I get that. And that at its core, that's what Amazing Race
is
always about and will always be about. But you're 31 seasons in, and the fans who love these three shows are saying to you, hey, what would happen if we took somebody like Rupert, who's super strong and powerful on Survivor, and some of these Big Brother teams.
I feel like Survivor's fine. Those contestants are fine. Amazing Race contestants are fine. Big Brother, you might run into some trouble.
They're not really very active, I don't feel like. They are stuck inside. But a lot of mind games, right? And you know, there's a lot of manipulation and that sort of thing going on. And listen, there are people that love all these three shows, and they want to know what might happen if you just throw that together. And what I will tell you is, it's very interesting. Like, right from the starting line, there's a lot of smack talk with each other. You know, Rupert comes right out of the gate and goes, oh, we're from Survivor. We're tough. We're much tougher, and we're going to take you. You know, I mean, it's like, it sounds like one of those wrestlers on the WWE.
I can't believe Rupert's not on Game of Thrones, by the way. He should be. He really should be.
But Kevin's point is great in that you've never seen the Big Brother contestants do as much as walk out to the backyard and back. I mean, how do you know that they can possibly keep up out of the gate on this show?
Well, that's the interesting thing is we don't know, do we? We don't know how they're going to.
I feel like we do know.
Yeah,
I feel like they're going to be out first.
I think the big difference is, of course, on Survivor and Big Brother, it's a lot about, you know, forming alliances and making connections with people. And you don't want to get voted out, so you want to be the nice person and all the rest of it. On Amazing Race, you just do whatever you want because it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, you have to get from one place to the other by yourself.
I mean, but
your
you do have U-turns, and you do have people that sort of count on each other.
Yeah,
and
but if you're
you
good,
set someone back. Yeah,
if you're good, you're ahead.
Then you don't have to worry
about being
it.
U-turned. Very, very. You know,
Phil, I got the impression last time he was on, and also in the clip that I saw from tomorrow night's episode, that Tyler is always flirting with you. Is that true?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you tell me. You're the audience.
Yes,
what he's saying.
I'm also saying that Phil doesn't hate it.
I think he's a delightful human being. I love his personality. In fact, right at the beginning, I sort of called him out a little bit because we're at the starting line and he was being sort of a bit quiet and coy, and everybody else is calling out everybody else, and Tyler and Corey are looking more ripped than I've ever seen them look before. Like, you should see Tyler's guns.
Really?
Oh yeah, the guy's been working out, and he's a little quiet. And I go, I said, Tyler, you're more quiet than I've ever seen you before. And he goes, you just mind your own business. I'm like, whoa, okay. I go, wow, look at those guns you're bringing to this race. You know
see what I mean? Phil doesn't hate it.
Are you able at the beginning of the season to sort of predict in your mind, who's going to be the winner or top?
Absolutely. Well, I'm not
just
very,
because you've done it. So
I'm not very good at it, but okay.
Do it anyway.
Then we can all do that.
But
I'm saying, are you good at it?
Money down. I mean, there's a lot of money that gets played. We're talking like dollars.
Sure.
No, we all get our dollar bills out, and we make three bets each. There's about 10 of us that have been doing it for quite a while. We bet on the order of elimination, like the closest order of elimination.
Okay,
who's the first team out, second team out, so on. We pick our final three. Mm-hmm. We pick a winner, and then the order of those final three, and then the winner. And this season, I actually did pretty well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is
how much did you win? Like $30?
I wasn't the best. No, I was second.
Okay.
Somebody else
still
beat
didn't
me.
Win.
Not even $30. Well, like, I think we're talking about seven. But anyway, who's counting? Anyway,
the money isn't important.
It's
Kevin.
The honor.
Right.
It's the honor.
Of course.
Yes,
it's the honor. Sure.
So, but there are other seasons where I've just been terrible, and I think that sort of speaks to what the race is all about, which is it's not like, you know, in the old days when Usain Bolt used to go in a 100-meter race, everybody was like,
he was going to win.
We kind of know who's going to win this one. But on Amazing Race, you don't.
It's anyone's game.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the unpredictable aspect of Amazing Race to me. That's part of why people just love it, because you just, and you will see this season, teams that you would think might be the first team out, end up doing really well, and you're like, what? How did this happen? But it happened.
They sweet talked you. That's how it happens.
Well, here's what we have often said about your show is it's easy to take for granted because it's been on for so many seasons. But watch tomorrow night, and you'll be reminded again, if you haven't been on board, that Amazing Race is one of the most exciting shows on television. It really, your producers, as you've said, and your editors and everything like that do a fantastic job. Yeah. And you are competent as a host, Phil. I want to put that out there.
I love that. I love that after 30-something seasons, have reached confident status.
I mean, not last year, but this year.
Just confident.
We're looking forward to that.
It's taken me almost 2 decades to get to confident.
That's pretty high praise.
Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock on CBS. Don't miss it. It's the Amazing Race. Ladies and gentlemen, our good friend Phil.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Hey, congratulations, by the way, to Gloria Dean from Santa Fe Springs. Last hour, she won her tickets to Universal Studios. We're giving them away all week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day as well. And don't forget, a bonus chance to win a 4-pack of Universal Studios Hollywood California Neighbor Passes happening now at krock.com. So log on, won't ya? All right, Allie, bring us home on this Tuesday.
You guys all go to your proms.
Yes.
I did, yeah.
I think I did,
because I have a photo of me in a white tux with a pink ruffle.
I need to see that.
Yes,
I've posted it before.
Well, let's post it again.
But I have no memory of that said prom. I only know it from the photo.
Okay. Well, we are in prom season right now, you guys. You know, April, May, sometimes going into June. I just read something that I thought, this is brilliant. It comes from a woman, I should say a girl, Hannah Rogers. She's a senior at American Fork High School in Utah, which, by the way, shout out to Utahns. They would say American Fark. That's how they say American Fork in Utah. It's
That's
bizarre.
Annoying.
It makes no sense. Anywho, here's the thing. She came up with something that is brilliant. It's a site called Ben Asked. Ben Asked.
Okay.
It's a site where she came up with it because she didn't want people to ask somebody to prom and then they've already been asked. How awkward.
Oh,
she
so
wants
Ben,
to.
I'm sorry, Ben Asked.
Ben, B-E-E-N. Ben.
Not, sounds like you're saying Ben.
Yeah, it does sound like
Ben
you're saying asked. There's a guy that she's trying to ask to prom named Ben.
So it's Ben
Asked.
Pronounce it Ben.
Ben Asked.
There you go.
Ben Asked.
Nope.
You're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do say Ben.
Yeah.
So if you want to ask someone named Ben, you're good.
Just go to this. My website. Okay, let me promote mine just because you've already done that one. Mine is benasked.com.
Okay.
It's a kid I know. He's looking for a prom date.
All right.
And he lives in Riverside.
Okay.
So if you want to go with Ben Asked, that's my site. If you want to know who's Ben Asked.
Ben. See, you just said Ben.
No, Ben. Ben Asked is my site.
Uh-huh.
Ben Asked is your site.
So I don't hear a difference.
Oh,
anyway, she came up with the idea of creating a website where you could see everyone's names who had and hadn't been asked to the dance so you don't accidentally ask someone that's already been asked and get yourself into a very awkward situation.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that brilliant?
That's a very smart idea.
Yes.
So her website also includes promposal ideas and discounts on prom services such as clothing, activities, dinner, and transportation. Hannah Rogers, they could be using this in every single school.
Can I only throw this out just because I'm just thinking out loud here? What if you're a person who doesn't want to go to the prom and doesn't want your name to make it look like you're a big fat loser who's not going because she's not asked or he's not asked?
You know what I mean?
Like, can you opt out of being on the site, I guess is what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm not sure.
No, but don't you want to be on the site as somebody who's been asked?
Yeah, but what if you haven't?
Still, you want to send it to them, and then the research will show that you've been asked, so no one does.
Oh.
No, but I'm saying, what if you don't want to be on the site, I'm saying? You know, like, let's say you don't want to go to the prom, but you don't want everybody to look at the list and go, oh, he hasn't been asked. He's a loser.
That's her other site, pleasedontaskme.com.
Hannah is very busy.
And that's written out just for people who don't want even you to think about it.
We were very impressed by her about 30 seconds ago.
Yeah.
What a great idea.
Well, it just feels kind of, it feels like it's kind of shaming some people. That's all.
Well, we don't know if you can opt out. Maybe you can, so calm your tees.
Right?
Hannah came up with a great idea.
Agreed.
A
senior in high school that came up with this. What have you done?
All right, I've got other flaws in the project here, but I'll keep them to myself because we're all celebrating.
Please do.
Mister, I don't even remember my prom.
I don't.
Right?
I bet I was great at it, though.
You were great at prom?
I bet I was popular.
I bet I was a great
dancer.
I bet everybody cleared the dance floor when you were in the middle
to
and
watch
you just
the moves.
Did your thing.
Absolutely.
I bet that happened.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty sure it did.
If anyone out there was at prom with Bean,
right?
You could let
I went
us
to
know.
The. I think I went to my junior and senior prom with the same girl, but I don't remember who it was. Wow.
I will say this, if you think that's odd, Bean doesn't remember his first wife. Back to you.
Yeah. But does weirdly remember, like, who did mornings in Chicago
oh, sure.
in 1994.
Yeah. If his last wife was in radio, he would remember.
My first wife morning show? Oh, yeah, she was fine.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
But it's Bean. It's what makes
it's
him
crazy,
Bean.
But it's true.
I'm gonna just keep it a Bean.
Keeping it a Bean.
Great.
Thank you, Cat's mom. I love this story so much because Rachel Brosnahan, who stars on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, she got stuff done. She sees one of her favorites, Sterling K. Brown, being interviewed at the SAG Awards, and she interrupts the interview and says, I would love for you to be on the show. And he's like, I'd love to. Yeah, it's true. I'd love to as well. And guess who's going to be on season 3 of Amazon's mega hit, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
I don't know.
You guessed it. Sterling K. Brown.
Oh, it worked. This is like Allie booking Weenie Roast. Everybody that comes to this, she's like,
exactly.
She's like, you want to play Weenie Roast?
What are you doing? You want to do
You're
that?
Crazy.
Yes.
Send pictures.
What?
Send her pictures.
Send you pictures mm-hmm. of... Okay, well, he did tweet that he's going to be on. So it's happening, guys. Stay tuned. I'm getting together with Midge, and it's going to be awesome.
How expensive is that?
I don't know how much that he's charging. I can't imagine he'd be too cheap. He's very...
Well, he must be really happy.
He's very happy.
Yes.
He loves the show as
imagine.
Well. So it's exciting to be on it.
What's in the water out there?
I don't know if it's necessarily water that makes Sterling K. Brown a great actor, but if it
Put
is...
Put your seatbelt on.
Well, yeah, safety first.
That's good
first,
advice.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Why do I need all of these buttons?
What buttons?
Positive.
What
you're talking about now.
What are you talking about now?
Like chicken wings?
No, nothing's like... Well, actually, press a button. If you get chicken wings...
Right? It's a
I
good
say
button.
That's a great button.
I would really enjoy that right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Me
Same
too.
With us. Yeah,
me
yeah.
too.
Some wings too.
Same.
It would be awesome.
I need a wing button.
Is that it?
Yep.
Oh, I got plenty more.
Oh,
but
keep
please,
going.
Please.
Let's keep going.
Don't want to take up.
Let's keep
oh, going. Come on.
Well, what's your next story?
I mean, it's Kat's birthday, so we should
It's Kat's birthday.
Celebrate.
She definitely wants to hear from her mother.
Why, you know, nightmare.
That's actually what Kat just said in the other room. It's true. You guys, Wendy Williams is her own hot topic again.
I got a heating pad on my feet.
That is irrelevant.
Different kind of hot topic. On the Wendy Williams show yesterday, she referenced the segment's motto, which is, their business is our business.
It's so hot here.
Is
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Oh, because yesterday during the marathon, it was a little chilly and rainy.
I have no idea what that means.
Mm. Well, there was a marathon. It was a Boston Marathon. That's where you live, and it was rainy, and it's weird that it's hot today.
You better not fall asleep.
No,
I'm not going to fall asleep. I'm in the middle of doing this.
Yeah, show's almost over.
Yeah. Was that funny? Tickles you a
oh,
little
she's
bit?
She's laughing now. She thinks it's great.
It's great, right?
That's dangerous.
It is dangerous, falling asleep with a heating pad on your feet.
Right? I think I'm out, guys. I think I'm officially out.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
I think that's it.
That was pretty strong.
Anyway, well, Wendy Williams talked about how her business of getting a divorce and living in a sober house is now everybody's business, just like she talked about on her show. Yeah! I just wanted more Kat's mom. Oh, God, I love her. Let's talk about some birthdays. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Ellen Barkin, John Cryer, Martin Lawrence, Peter Billingsley, Claire Foy, Chance the Rapper, and one of our favorite people here, the lovely Miss Kat Corbett.
I'm Kat Corbett, and I'd like to turn you on.
She does. She does. It's what she lives for. And well done. That's what's happening.
Thanks, Ali. The 5 p.m. commercial. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we've got some great guests.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do we? Like who?
Bono.
What?
Bono is on the show tomorrow, Kevin.
Paul McCartney.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
What
yes.
is going on?
Who else?
Matthew Perry.
What? Whoa, that wow. seems like
okay. a turn.
I mean,
okay.
still good.
Great,
but,
great.
A bit of a decline.
Who else?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh,
oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
He
Who
wants
else?
To reflect on the hot diving shows.
He does? Why so soon?
Not sure. It's going to be a great show, though. You really have to tune in. And we have... And we have tickets for April Fools'.
Kevin's killing the improv game.
Well, I'm just saying, we haven't planned it yet, so
okay.
It's going to be great.